Our evening series is titled Old Stories, Familiar Problems. I'd encourage you just to have your finger in 1 Samuel 17. But I want to begin with three quotations. The first comes from Pastor Erwin Lutzer, pastor of Moody Church in Chicago. He said this: "It is rebellion against God's leading in the lives of his children. It's saying that God has no right to bless someone else more than you." What is it that he's talking about? Here's another quote from a well-known theologian, J.I. Packer. "It is one of the most cancerous and soul-destroying vices there is. It is and is fed by pride, the taproot of our fallen nature." They're both talking about the same thing. Can you guess what it is yet? Final quote. This is something that was noted by Billy Graham during his many years of evangelistic ministry. "It can ruin reputation and cause murders. It can shrink our circle of friends, ruin our business, and dwarf our souls. I have seen hundreds cursed by it." What is it? It is envy. Envy. Saul eyed David from that moment on. Envy. Now, before we talk about envy, let me tell you what envy is not. Because there are certain things that are very similar that we sometimes use the wrong word to describe. Very similar, but different to envy, is jealousy. But they're not the same. Jealousy springs from the fear that something which we possess will be taken away by another person. Jealousy can be applied to our jobs, our possessions, our reputations, though it's most often used to refer to that anxiety which comes when we are afraid that the affections of a loved one might be lost to a rival. We fear that our husband or our wife, or perhaps our children, will be lured away by some other person who, when they compare them to us, they seem more attractive, more capable, more successful. Young people who are besotted with the first love of their life know all about jealousy. Their girlfriend or boyfriend only has to glance at another, and they are paranoid that they're going to lose them forever. That's jealousy. We're actually worried that we're going to lose something that we cherish to another. Now, in a good sense, God is a jealous God. He doesn't want to lose us to the enemy of our souls. He wants us only for himself. That's wonderful. Jealousy can actually be a very good thing if we're jealous for the right things and for the right reasons. But that's not envy. And envy is not covetousness. Because you see, covetousness fixes itself upon the things that we desire. the things that we think we must have in order to have a better life. So the Bible says, do not covet your neighbor's wife. And it lists some other things as well. But while covetousness fixes itself upon the things that others have, envy fixes itself upon the person. Saul eyed David, and he was fixed on the person. You might covet the things they have, but you envy them. That's the difference. And because it fixes itself upon the person, that's what makes it so destructive. Envy leads to resentment, and it leads to anger, and it leads to hatred. That's precisely the path that we see Saul starting on in this verse. He eyed David from that moment onwards. And that, amongst with other things, was what would actually lead to Saul's downfall as the king of Israel. It wasn't just what David had. It was David himself that Saul was envious of. Jealousy. Well, we need to be careful. Covetousness. We need to be careful. Envy. We need to be really careful. The three are different. They're not the same. We sometimes use the wrong word to describe what we're talking about. I want to talk about envy. Did you notice in that passage that we read what it was that caused Saul's envy? All the women were singing and dancing. We're in chapter 18. And it's interesting, isn't it? In verse 6 it says they actually came out to meet King Saul. He was probably used to that happening. This wouldn't have been the first time that he was greeted in this way. And he probably imagined that it was going to be the same as usual. But today was not the same as usual. And we see, don't we, the cause of the problem as far as Saul is concerned. Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And immediately, verse 8, Saul is angry. Straight away. There are three aspects in that. It's only a short couple of verses. Three things we notice. Saul's envy results, first of all, from what David had achieved. He's envious of what he's done. Secondly, he's envious of the attention that David is receiving. And thirdly, his envy is because of the diversion away from himself. I'm the king. They should be saying this about me. And they're not. And so there's those three things that all work together to produce the envy that starts to burn in Saul's heart against David. What David had done, the attention he was receiving, and the diversion away from himself. And so there's three markers, three pointers for us all straight away with regards to this issue. Because as we're going to see, the Word of God actually deals with this subject quite comprehensively. And in the New Testament scriptures, makes it absolutely clear that envy is one of those things that has absolutely no place in the life of a believer. And we'll see that together shortly. But take note of what it was that caused the problem in the first place in Saul's life. And be careful if any of these three, or any combination of these three, and especially if all three, start to well up in you concerning someone else. What they've done, the attention they're receiving, and the lack of attention that they have taken away from me. Three things for us to watch out for in our own hearts and in our own reactions when we see other people being praised in some way. Now, the Bible itself has a lot to say, a lot of helpful things to say about envy. I'd just like to take you through a short, very short overview of some scriptures, just to let you see how the Bible talks to us about this subject of envy. Let's see the root of it. In Isaiah chapter 14, the prophet gives us an account of how Satan first fell. And we read this in Isaiah 14, verse 12. "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." He was envious of God's position and God's glory. And his envy caused his downfall. Now, of course, it's that same evil one who, in Genesis chapter 3, comes to Eve. And we see a similar thing running through as he talks to Eve in Genesis 3, at verse 4. "The serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit, and she ate. You will be like God. Envious. We see that same current running through what the serpent says. Well, let's consider some of the scriptures together. Still in Genesis, this time chapter 4. Envy brought about the first murder. Chapter 4, verses 3 to 8. "In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel, who of course is his brother, also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him." He was envious of his brother. Envy rose up in the heart of Rachel, the wife of Jacob, in Genesis chapter 30, and the opening verse. "When Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, give me children or else I die." The destructive power of envy. When we fix ourselves upon another person, we see envy welling up in the hearts of the brothers of Joseph in that well-known story in Genesis 37. His brothers envied him. And of course, they wanted to kill him too. Envy. It is a ruinous path. We find out in the New Testament that the religious leaders who were out to get rid of Jesus did so because of envy. The real thing that was motivating them against the Lord Jesus Christ was envy that was welling up in their hearts. I guess they looked upon Jesus very much the way Saul looked upon David. Because of what he'd done, because of the attention that he was getting, and because it was diverting all the attention away from them. They envied him. Matthew 27, verse 18. For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. It was envy. The scriptures teach us that envy is a very basic thing in our sinful nature. When Paul is writing to the Romans, in the very first chapter, he mentions envy amongst a whole load of other things. The first chapter of Romans, verse 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting." And look at what God includes with envy. All unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. And the list goes on. Envy is a dreadful thing in God's eyes. And similar things are said when Paul is writing to Titus. Titus 3:3. He says, "We ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." Envy is very destructive. The thing is, it's usually you that gets destroyed. There's an ancient Greek legend which tells of two athletes who competed against each other in the games of ancient Greece. And the guy who came second was not a good loser, was applauded and given all kinds of accolades. He even had the honour of a great statue of himself was made and set up on a plinth. And the guy who comes second in the race was just filled with envy against this man. He decided it's time to do something about it. So every night he would go out, and in the darkness, with a hammer and chisel, he would slowly just knock away a little bit from the plinth on which the statue stood. And then he'd go back. Night after night, chiseling away just a little bit more. Until one night, the statue fell right on top of him and killed him. Killed by his own envy. And it will do the same to us if we harbour this great sinfulness within our own hearts. We need to understand that being a Christian in no way makes us immune from this dreadful curse. I came across a couple of stories. Here's the first one. This is about two very well-known Bible teachers, F.B. Meyer and D.L. Moody. Meyer often ministered at Moody's Bible Conference in Massachusetts. He always drew great crowds. But on one occasion, G. Campbell Morgan was invited to speak. And he drew in even larger crowds. And even larger audiences. And the press said even more glorious thing about G. Campbell Morgan than they'd ever said about F.B. Mayer. Mayer confessed to some of his close friends that he was tempted to feel envious of Morgan. "The only way I can conquer my feelings," Mayer said, "is to pray for him daily, which I do." These are mature believers, pastors, Bible teachers, struggling with envy. Came across another story which Dale Moody is also involved in, and he was involved in a lot, that man. There was a guy called Henry Varley. Henry Varley said to Dale Moody, "The world has yet to see what God will do with a man who is fully committed to him." And that statement, more than any other, really galvanized Moody into Christian work with world-changing results. Now, what isn't so well known is that Henry Varley himself was a very powerful evangelist and pastor. But in a biography about Henry Varley's life story, we learn that one of Varley's most difficult battles was his envy of other preachers who were successful. Another pastor close to where Varley used to minister began drawing some of Varley's members away from his own church. And much later, this is what Varley recorded about that event. "I shall never forget the sense of guilt and sin that possessed me over that business. I was miserable. Was I practically saying to the Lord Jesus, 'Unless the prosperity of your church and people comes in this neighborhood by me, I'd rather success not come?' Was I really showing inability to rejoice in another worker's service? I felt that it was a sin of a very hateful character. I never asked the Lord to take away my life before or since, but I did then. Unless His grace would give me victory over this foul example of envy." Mature pastors struggling with envy. The Word of God makes it clear that envy has no place in the life of a believer and is something which must be done away with. Let's just consider a few scriptures together. First of all, Paul's letter to the Galatians and chapter 5, verse 26. "Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." It'll destroy you. It won't destroy the person that you're envious about. It will be you that it will destroy. When Paul was writing his first letter to Timothy, chapter 6, verse 4. Well, let's begin at verse 3. "If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth. That's a pretty strong thing to say. And then one final one in the first letter of Peter, right towards the end of the Old Testament. 1 Peter chapter 2 and the first verse. Therefore, laying aside, put it down, malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. Saul eyed David. These are old stories, but they're familiar problems. We can see from the testimonies of even respected pastors, household names amongst the Christian community, some of them, that envy is not the easiest foe to defeat. But we must put ourselves to constant prayer and to focus and to discipline on all of these things. The scriptures warn us to take heed unto ourselves. The problem is, most of us spend far too much time taking heed unto others. Concerning ourselves with their affairs, which are none of our business whatsoever. Concerning ourselves with their faults and their failings. Pointing out the speck in their eye when we're oblivious to the huge plank that's poking out of our own. The Bible describes envy as a very ruinous path. Learn to be content in God. Learn to be content with the calling that He has given you. Learn to be content with the avenue of service that He has asked you to follow. Pray with thankfulness for all your brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray that God would use them and bless them more and more. And praise Him when He does. Pray that you might be a humble servant. That you might walk without stumbling. When Saul looked upon David, he saw a man who was stealing all his glory. He looked at what David had done. He looked at all the attention he was getting. He thought about all that was being diverted away from himself to this young lad. And it led to hatred in his heart. We need to pray. We need to pray for one another. We need to pray for ourselves that the Lord would keep us from this terrible curse. That when we look upon one another, there might not in our hearts be any evil thought at all, but that we simply might be filled with thankfulness to God as we see His grace and His mercy working itself out in the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ, glorying in the wonderful things that God is doing in them and through them, that we might together live for His glory. My dear friends, these are old stories, but they're very familiar problems, and we need to learn the lessons well. May God help us as we study His word together.